I want to mind God. And I don't want you to think lazy if it looks like I bailed out on you. Quick. I'm going to give you a general thought. I got 6 points. I got a 6-shooter with 3 bullets in each gun, so I can't preach this morning. In fact, I don't even know if I want to preach much of it at all. Amen. I just want to give you a thought and maybe a point. And I think we can get the idea. I'll go in more detail on it tonight and maybe whenever. All that will be relevant, but I just want to help you this morning. 1 Kings 15, let's look at verses 1 down through 5. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. Can I say, what you pass on to your children is probably going to be what they are. They're generally a product of their environment. The Bible said he walked in all the sins of his father, not just some of them, but all the sins of his father which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Let me take a time out here. I want to go ahead and draw some emphasis on the thought that his heart was not perfect as David's was. Now David was not perfect, say amen. Perfect here means complete. We're complete only in Christ. But he here has a lot of failures compared to David's few. Let's say it like that. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord give, Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. In other words, David's seed continued on even here. Even though this king was wicked, God, because of David's sake, let the lamp still shine in Jerusalem and pass this on to his son. Verse 5 be our text. Watch it. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Father, thank you, God, for your blessings already. Thank you for the good singing, and Lord, it's been a joy to our heart. Thank you for the good testimonies, God, that have been given and shared. Thank you for the red word of God. I thank you, God, that we have a King James Bible this morning that we can hold dearly in our hands, and God, establish it in our heart and our souls as it's forever been settled in heaven. I pray now that you make preaching easy, God, for the next few minutes. And give us direction and wisdom. God, help us into what to say. And God, to be brief, but to the point enough, Lord, that we might stir hearts of the saints. God, if there's one lost, God, may convicting power come just from the preached word that they might be saved before it be eternally too late. God bless Super Church, those out there laboring. God help them, God, as they try to help these children. Thank you for the new ones that came in on the bus this morning. Thank you for the laborers in the field, God, that picked them up. God, may you bless their life, and God, give them fruit for their labors, for what they've done. I pray now, would you help me to preach? God, put preaching in my soul. Crucify my flesh. Give me clarity of thought and fill me with the Holy Ghost. And we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you for it now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe if you were to look in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 6, the latter part of that verse would say something along the lines, and David begat Solomon from her who was the wife of Uriah. I see here in verse number 5 that God brags on David. David was the apple of God's eye. The Bible makes it clear that when he would choose his next king, the second king of Israel, he'd choose a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Bible said here that he did which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything which he commanded him all the days of his life. Unfortunately, the verse does not end there. He's called a perfect man in verse number 3. I'm glad God can get over our failures. Somebody say amen. I'm glad God can get over our failures. I'm glad when we hit a bump in the road, God can still look at us and say everything's okay. Amen. There is a comma in verse number 5 that draws our attention to a thought that says, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, everything David ever did, I'm sure he did other things wrong. I'm sure he made some strategic decisions that may not have been exactly how God would have intended for him to do. I'm sure as a young man, he was probably disobedient to his father at times. And I say I can remember a time when Satan tempted him to number Israel, to take that census, and the Bible said God's anger was kindled against him. Does not mention these here. Those were only minute things compared to the matter of Uriah the Hittite. To the best of my ability, I want to take this thought. When it talks about David's perfection, when it talks about his perseverance, but yet there's a thing in his past that always seems to be brought up. David's already dead now. He's already gone. They're bragging about the Holy Ghost is bragging on his goodness, as we find here, about his perfection, his walk with God, and how he did what which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Yet through all his goodness and all his perfection, there's that mar on his life, that thing in his past that just keeps coming back up. I want to preach on this subject. You'll never live it down. You'll never live it down. Take your Bible and turn the book of 2 Samuel. I won't have time to go in any depth. This is chapter number 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. I won't have any time going in depth on this message. I believe from the thought we can already tell where it's going. You'll never live it down. Say this, I'm glad God forgives. Don't get me wrong. If I can get to point 6 and I ain't going to, so I'm letting some of it out of the bag right now. Yeah, boy. I'm glad God will forgive us. Amen. Let me say that again because y'all ain't getting, because I'm about to freeze. I got cold chills. I got bumps on my arms right now that a hog could bite. I'm about to freeze to death sweating at the same time. I'm so thankful that God forgives. Regardless of our failures, our shortcomings, our ungodly wicked deeds, I'm glad there's a sovereign God seated on the throne that has had the blood of the precious Lamb of God applied to the mercy seat. And whosoever shall come and come by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm happy to report God forgives their sin. Amen. Let me say this. God doesn't forget sin, forgive sin if you will, but he forgives the sinner of their sin. Amen. Amen. Second Samuel, I'm saying that because of this. I believe now we could read right into chapter 12 and skim, because some of you ain't come back now. I'm letting some of that back. Some of you can get the rest of it later. In chapter 12, find that David was forgiven of this sin. God the Holy Ghost is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. Say amen. Amen. You'll have a hard time wiping the Trinity out of the Bible. And the Holy Ghost wrote this word. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, even though God forgave David of this wicked and vile sin, mind you, as the Holy Ghost had said, save for the matter of Uriah the Hittite. God didn't forget it. Don't get nervous. Amen. He used it for our example. He's not trying to mar the name of the greatest king that ever lived on earth. He's not trying to mar the name of the seed that the Lord Jesus Christ would come in. He's not trying to mar the name of the one that the Son of God will be established to rule his kingdom and sit on his throne. But yet he's using it to show us that even though God will forgive our sin, there'll be some people that'll never let you live it down. In 2 Samuel 11 verse 1, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him. And all this, when they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Here David, up to this time, David was a fighter. You hear me? He was not only the king. Notice here was a time when the kings go to battle. David would have never sat back and not fought. Amen. God called him a man of war. God needs some men that'll still stand up and fight. Amen. When everybody else was a bunch of yellow-belly cowards, David stood amidst the elders of Israel when staring down Goliath and Gath and saying, is there not a cause? He knew there's something to stand up for. I say every man in the building this morning ought to have a desire to stand up for the God of Israel. He said, I come in the name of the captain of the Lord's host. Let's God, we got a God that's worth standing up and fighting for. All kinds of giants ahead. All kinds of battles ahead. But notice number one this morning, the mistake. Mistake here was, there was a battle. There was a fight compared to Goliath. I believe the children of Ammon were nothing. In fact, they won the battle without the fiercest fighter there, David. Handled it with no problem. Are you with me? But number one, there was a mistake. Notice he tarried still at Jerusalem. The first part of this mistake is time off. Worst thing you'll ever do in your walk and relationship with God is take a little time off. Amen. I can't honestly say, Sister Lou, that he was in the battle of any sin right here. I mean, everybody gets tired sometime. Amen. Sometimes it starts with a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. For others, it's just a Wednesday night. Somebody help me. I'm telling you, a little time off here and a little time off there. Can I say the old flesh is weak? Amen. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm telling the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. And I say you can take enough time off to where your sin won't even bother you anymore. At first, just missing a night service would bother you. First, not praying like you used to pray would bother you. First, not reading your Bible would bother you. First, not living up to your duties, like going to the battle when you should be at the battle would bother you. But it don't take very long at all. That it, no matter how far out you get in sin, that power of God conviction is so far gone from you, it doesn't even bother you anymore. First, you feel the great divine hand, the chastening hand of Almighty God. The Hebrew writer said in the 12th chapter, the 5th verse, have you forgotten the chastening of the Lord? It come to a place, Brother Roy, where you don't even feel it anymore. You forgot that it was God. You put in your mind its circumstance and consequence, when all the while it's the hand of God. Just from taking a little time off. That's the first part of this mistake. Verse 2 says, you hear me? Just took a little time off. And it came to pass in an evening tide. Probably wasn't the first night. He's not been out doing what he does. He's not been serving. If he's serving, he's at the battle. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Sitting around the house. Should have been down there serving God. And then one evening comes by. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. Huh? I know that in me, that in my flesh will no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, said I find not. When you sit around just being idle, you never know what your idol might become. Sitting there and the evening rolls in and all of a sudden now it's evening tide and watching David. Arose upon the roof of the king's house. He's bored. Step outside and get a breath of fresh air. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Amen. She was a looker. Amen. Amen. This wasn't a dog now. Somebody help me. Bible said, hey, if the Holy Ghost said she's very beautiful to look upon, you mark it down, neighbor. Holy Ghost said she was good looking. Amen. Notice not only the time off in this mistake, but notice the thoughtless obscenity. What in the name of God is that woman doing outside the king's window, stark naked, washing herself? Everybody blamed it on David, my soul friend. Her husband's gone. You rise all fighting in the war. Maybe she's sitting at the house getting a little lonely and bored herself. She's watched all those damsels and all those wives of the king and thought, man, what would it be to be Abigail? What would it be to be one of the king's wives? And here she is, she thinks, and right there, she's probably seen him step out a time or two. By now, she's got him pegged. Oh, yes, there's the one with the throne on his head. That must be the king's house. That must be the king's room. That must be his bedchamber. That must be where he takes the brides. And the concubines. And here he steps out. Time in, time out. And he's having a little time off from serving God. She's having a little time off from being a wife. Amen. There's no description of any inkling that there are any other children in the life of Bathsheba. Apparently, from what I can read or what I can understand all through, even after this event, there's no mention that Bathsheba had any other children before this lad child here with King David. She's lost her role as a woman. Women ought to love their husbands. Women ought to rear children. Somebody help me. Women ought to be keepers at home. Amen. Women ought to love their own husbands. That's what the scripture says. Their own husbands. Oh, if there was a burning lust in her own heart and for the ready king. Here he's standing out today, and I imagine there had to be some intent. Look up here, women. If you dress like a sleaze bucket, if you dress like you're for rent, somebody say amen. You have a thoughtless obscenity about you. You're not considering God's word, God's standards, God's morality. God would expect you to put some clothes on you and cover yourself up. It's not for every man to see. It's not for these lesbians to see. It's not for the world to see on Facebook. It's for your husband to see. It's not your mama's place to see it. It's not your daddy's place to see it. It's your husband's place to see it. Somebody say amen. Anything outside of the Levitical law in chapter number 18 to reveal thy nakedness to anybody else is a sin and an abomination to God. Say amen. Not reveal or uncover our nakedness even to our family. No. Amen. I'm liking this. Some of them ain't Bud Jeffrey, but I am. It's a thoughtless obscenity. They're obscene, they know it, and they could care less what you or God or their mamas or their daddies or their husbands or their fiancés or anybody cares about it. I see no remorse in the life of Bathsheba that she's out there stark naked. Can I say from the thoughtless obscenity in verse 3 and 4, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Boy, it begins to give her genealogy. You know, if we study her genealogy, she comes from a godly family. She's been raised around the things of God. David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Notice here the temptation offered. He said, will you come? Nobody had to take and pull her in. I never heard of a Bathsheba said, I don't want to go, I'm married. Brother Robert didn't say, I've already got a husband. Said, ma'am, King wants you up there in the bedchambers. Somewhere I'm thinking, that's my intent. Mistake. I got 5 more points. You know what I'm saying? And I can't go any further without starting to reveal them, and I ain't got time to expound on them. I'm going to tell you this. You can make a mistake, and I can go right back to the text and to the title of this. You can make a mistake. If we read in chapter 12, we will sometime this month. I'll get there. God will forgive you. But you know what? 1,000 years after you're dead, Matthew chapter number 1 had Solomon. From her that was the wife of Uriah. They'll never let you live it down. You might get away with it. God will forgive you. God will clean you back up. I'm here to preach. Right, I want to get to the sweetness of the forgiveness, please. Please do not take what I... And if you've messed up, do not take this wrong. And don't think that this is being preached, you know, directly to you and in your lap. This is a message and a warning. This is a... You need to heed to this warning. If you take a little time off, if you make the mistake of taking some time off, that's where it'll start. When you take that time off, there'll be some thoughtless obscenities around. It's not always a Bathsheba. It's not always a naked woman. Ladies, sometimes it's a naked man. For most women now, they just soon see naked women, what I'm understanding. God help us. God help us. Can I just plug something in that's way out of line here? It ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. Israel's getting ready to shoot a bomb over at Iran. Take out that nuclear weapons they're building. And when they do, you can rest sure this thing's getting ready to blow up, friend. You can hang out all you want to and think everything's okay. Bless God, I'm going on to come up hither. Amen. I'm not waiting for the one from the North Syria. I'm not waiting for the one coming from the South. And that's Egypt. Bless God, I'm going out of here and they can figure it all out themselves. You've had too much time off. That don't mean just because you've been here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you've been faithful and in duty. You can take time off sitting on a church pew. In fact, most people start taking most of their time off on the pew. It's long past that before they wind up in the obscenity of the thoughtless obscenities ahead. It's long before the temptation offered is accepted. It'll start on the church pews when you make up your mind, I'm not going to serve God right now anymore. As soon as you've made up your mind, I'm tired of this. The devil starts saying, man, look what serving God's got you. Ain't nothing going right. Oh, but if you could look back now at what was then, it wasn't that bad. But now when you look back, everybody will remember that section in between when you took a little time off, and you'll never, Brother Nathan, live it down. God will forgive you. I say it again. You can walk away with a clean heart, but every time somebody brings it up, it'll rip your heart out again. And you'll remember how you miserably failed God. Be careful. Don't make the mistake. If you made a mistake, don't make another. It may not be the mistake that scars you for life. But if you keep making mistakes, there'll be one that'll always mar you. You don't wake up in the morning and wash the tattoos off. Get up in the morning and just wash it off. Brother Tim's out there, Super Church, he'd tell you right now, give anything, have them tattoos off of him. But if you find any saint of God in here that's been saved any amount of time, they'd give anything, get them things off of them. When you wake up, they don't wash off. You'll never live them down. You'll never live them down. Don't make a mistake. Let's stand our feet.